Yes, indeed. You're listening to Kerry Today. Gerry O'Sullivan with you until 11 o'clock this morning. And what a weekend it has been in the count centres in Tralee and in Killarney. We're still underway. We have recounts in Tralee, called late last night, run about 2:30 in the morning by Tom McElliston, was battling it out for the final seat in the Tralee electoral area. And we also have a recount called around 12:30 last night by the Social Democrats in Kenmare, as the seats are yet to be filled there. We've had a frenetic, emotional, long, frustrating, but engrossing weekend here on Radio Kerry and right across. And that's just us covering the events, let alone the candidates, their families, their canvassers and all of that. Some huge successes for independent candidates, huge successes again for the Healy Ways in Kerry, increasing their vote and their record vote in 2019. But as it stands, things are not decided. They are decided in Castle Island, in Corcaguina, in Killarney and in Listowel, but Kenmare and Tralee undecided yet. Recounts taking place today. We'll get into all of that. We'll take a look at the national picture as well as Sinn Féin struggle right across the country. There is the issue, the not inconsiderable issue, of the European Parliament elections. First counts expected there in a number of places today. We'll talk about that too in the context of the national picture. But right now, we'll take a look back at what was a huge weekend, a long weekend, a weekend when some of the biggest names in Kerry politics bowed out, others went from strength to strength. Here's how it played out on Radio Kerry.
Non-party, 2,890. As the votes of Jackie Healy-Rae exceed the quota, I deem him to be elected.
As there is only one vacancy remaining to be filled, and as the votes of the highest continuing candidate exceed the total votes of all the other continuing candidates, I deem Brendan Fitzgerald to be elected. As the votes of Fionnuala Fitzgerald exceed the quota, I deem him to be elected. I deem the highest continuing candidate to be elected, Bobby O'Connor.
Absolutely brilliant. I had a wonderful team around me. I had a team of over 40 canvassers. We were on the road for 14 weeks. We visited 7,200 homes. We put up 5,300 miles on the Citroën Berlingo van. We had some crazy days, but we had fun days. I felt in the last couple of weeks, Kerry politics was brought down to a new low. A lot of innuendo and rumours and stuff was said about me, but they're going to be all addressed by me legally over the next couple of weeks. Tonight is a night to celebrate, congratulate Jackie. Top of the poll, fantastic achievement. Looks as if Brendan has just got elected in Corcaguina. Sorry to see Mike Shea going after all these years. He gave me a great help inside for the last 5 years in the county chamber. Glad to see Bobby and Finan heading in the right direction as well, getting their seats back. But look, it's been a wonderful trip.
Oh, absolute relief. Very happy, of course, but I'm very sad as well because my good colleague Michael O'Shea didn't win the seat. So, of course, bittersweet. But any day that you secure a seat is a happy day. Look, for my own family, I know how hard it will be for my colleague Michael O'Shea. Whatever, it's happened to me a couple of times before, 2009 and 2014. So, yeah, it's a tough day. Look, you know, everybody talks about elections and stuff and like the sport, but like there's families involved and there's people who give their whole lives and a whole lifetime of public service, and Michael O'Shea has done that.
So you're saying we'll have a general election in October, is that right?
I've never been enjoying my job as much as them at the moment, so I wouldn't mind it if they invoked that emergency clause in the Constitution where we could have a 7-year doll, you know. I'm not for changing my mind, though. I'm yesterday's man now. Sure, there's a new batch of councillors after being elected and they'll stop talking about me, so...
So at the moment, here in the Tralee Count Centre, there's a table surrounded by the representatives or the actual candidates themselves, as the presiding officer, who has the final call, is adjudicating and making a call on whether these ballots can actually be counted. So some of them are quite straightforward. It's just people with bad handwriting, and with another reason we should have listened to our teachers when they were correcting us.
Yeah.
But and then there are other ones that will eventually be deemed spoilt ballots, and they will have to be taken out of the system because they can't be fairly adjudicated as to whom they were given. So it's causing a bit of a delay here in the results of the first count.
Jerry, I just want to say, like, I'm a lucky man to be here, and I appreciate life, I appreciate
every vote.
Yes, exactly, but I appreciate the fact that I'm just alive, you know. And the last day I was up in Cork, the consultant said to me when he met me, he said, you know, you're a lucky man. I said, I'm indebted to you and your team. And he said, you know, you nearly died in this. I said, I know that. He said, you know that we spoke about amputation. I said, I know that. What I didn't know was that he said to me that there was a 50 to 60% mortality rate with the type of infection I had. I didn't know that, Jerry, when you interviewed me.
Yeah. You know, astonishing stuff.
I had my youngest brother with me in my first election, and today I'd like to dedicate this result to my father and my brother. Okay.
I remember one of the stories maybe leading up to the election. Eamon Ryan said that Kerry was going green and that he was going to put it up to the Healy Rays. Well, I suppose no election campaign would be... We couldn't leave here without giving some rub to the Green Party today, because the only thing going green in Kerry today is the hills and mountains that'll be green for the summer. And I'm afraid Eamon Ryan should think again and listen to the people on the ground, because a lot of the nonsense and stuff that comes from the Green Party, if they're in one end of the scale, the Healy Rays are on the other. And I think if his answer got in Kerry today.
As the votes of Mikey Sheehy exceed the quota, I deem him to be elected.
Day. I'm a little bit overwhelmed, I'll be honest with you. We've put in a ferocious campaign over the last 3 months or so. I've had a huge team behind me, family, friends, supporters, advisors who've all chipped in, rolled up their sleeves, and it's really been shoulder to the wheel. But I suppose we were discussing last night, and we were looking at the breakdown of the vote, and I suppose one common theme amongst all of my group has been that we started working 5 years ago. The last election was May 2019, and we've just rolled up our sleeves, put the shoulder to the wheel, and look, have tried to deliver as best we possibly can for Tralee.
A good election, because we lost, obviously, for Taunton up in North Kerry. Tommy Griffin got a very good vote. We lost Cussey, and after many years in politics, I would say Cussey feels, I suppose, very saddened the fact that he lost, because he was such a committed politician. And then we had people not running again, people like Scott Dean Connor, Jim Finucane, who were really great candidates, but they didn't run. And Bobby Connell again got a great result. He has won 7 in a row now. So overall, it hasn't been a bad election here in Kerry for Fine Gael. Nationally, it's been quite good actually. We're kind of polling about 22.7%. Fianna Fáil are the same actually, 22.7% around that. Sinn Féin, despite the fact that they've been polling nationally over 30%, not recently, but generally over the last 4 years, will get about 11.8%. And independents are going to get 20.6%.
As the votes of Brendan Cronin exceed the quota, I deem him to be elected.
Good evening, Brendan.
Good evening, Deirdre.
And warmest congratulations to you. It must be a relief after a long day and a long day yesterday.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It is, yes, it is a relief. It was a kind of a slow process, frustrating waiting for the, you know, the count process to take its course. So we are absolutely delighted. I'm absolutely delighted that we've got over that finish line and that we're back in Kerry County Council flying the flag again for another 5-year period. The history books will say, yes, currently I am the longest serving member in the Killarney Municipal District. I think Michael Cahill now would have a couple of years on me in the county scenario
stage, so I'm just humbled by that in a big way. Like it's always hard for people to put their name on a ballot, and it when it doesn't go wrong, it's really hard. So this is 4 times I've been on a ballot, and it's gone right for me 4 times. And you know, every time you have to be humbled, you have to just respect that people came out. Over 1,100 and something people came out and voted for me over the last couple of days, and I just can't be thankful enough, and just the word humble.
National polls are putting Fianna Fáil at 15%, and it turns out on the day that we're at 22%, and we're still in a, you know, looking like we might be the strongest party in local government, or if not very close to Fine Gael. So like on the canvas, we certainly didn't find the negativity that was being portrayed by the national media in particular against the government parties. So I'm pleasantly surprised at and happy at the outcome, but you know, a good day could be a very good day depending on 40 or 50 votes either way. So
indeed,
it's a real nail biter. Deirdre, I really feel for the candidates, because you know, they're just
going
to hell at the moment with stress in here. I've been there, know what it's like, and you know, where I'm delighted to be Michael's director of elections, and I was very involved with Mike Sheehy and his campaign as well. It's good to be on the outside a little bit looking in, but
indeed
I wouldn't wish to be in their position now. It's a tough few
it's
hours.
It's a nail biter and a tough few hours ahead.
As there is one continuing candidate more than the number of seats left to be filled, I deem the following candidates to be elected without reaching the quota: Jimmy Maloney and Tom Barry.
Welcome back to the Killarney Sports and Leisure Complex. We've been here since, I suppose we were here for about 11 hours yesterday. We've been here for, my maths is escaping me, probably about 14 hours or so today, and we've had 6 counts in the Kinmare local electoral area. And just in the last few moments, the Deputy Returning Officer, Kathleen Moriarty, has stepped up to the podium to say that she received a request from a candidate for a full recount of the Kinmare local electoral area. She has acceded to that request, meaning that that full recount will begin. She said because of the time that is going to take, she's going to suspend matters for tonight in the Kinmare local electoral area and resume at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So a full recount of the Kinmare local electoral area. We've taken quite a long time to get to the 6th count, and it seems like a lot of that work may be undone. But back tomorrow at 9 o'clock for a full recount of the Kinmare local electoral area.
I have received a request from Tomás McElstrom for a complete re-examination and recount of all parcels of ballot papers. I have agreed to this request, and accordingly, I am adjourning the count until 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. You are.
Yes, indeed. Ihua agus Guramahagut. That was the returning officer in the Tralee electoral area in the Tralee Count Centre in John Mitchell's GAA clubhouse, Damien Ginty, making the declaration about 2:30 this morning that there was a recount called by Tom McElstrom into the status play in relation to the Tralee electoral area after quite a number of counts to try and get to the bottom of exactly what is happening and whether he can overtake the Fianna Fáil councillor and O'Sullivan, Fianna Fáil prospective councillor and O'Sullivan. In a way, it's all change on Kerry County Council. We have seven identity changes, if you can call it that, between retirements and councillors that have lost their seats. There are two recounts to go to decide who exactly will make up Kerry County Council for 2024 to 2029. We have five new councillors so far elected: Paul Daly of Sinn Féin, Tommy Griffin of Fine Gael, Robert Brosnan of Sinn Féin, Liam Speedy Nolan, an independent in Listowel, and Michael Lean, Fianna Fáil in Listowel. So a lot of new faces, a lot of new names because of retirements and other things. We'll get into the meeting of all that. We'll be talking about the numbers and how things are going to play out in the Tralee area and Kenmare area with those recounts today, next on Radio Kerry. You keep your views and comments coming into us on the election weekend here on Radio Kerry with any of your thoughts as to how it all played out, and also the other situations right across the county as well that are coming into your mind. We're going to stick with the election now and stick with where things stand at the moment. There are two live counts still underway to decide the makeup of the 33 councillors of Kerry County Council for the next 5 years. With me in our studio here in Tralee is Trasa Murphy, news editor and producer of Kerry Today. And Trasa was at the Tralee count all weekend, and Trasa, the 14 count late into the night last night, around about 2:30, Thomas McElstrom, former Fianna Fáil, now independent, calling a recount, and this is down to, I think it's 7 votes, is that right?
Yes, you're right. Just before 2:30 at 2:25 a.m. Following the 14th count for the Tralee local electoral area, and the result was given for that count, and it left Thomas McElstrom, former Fianna Fáil TD, now standing as an independent, just 7 votes behind Fianna Fáil's Anne O'Sullivan. Both had been competing for the 7th and last seat. At this stage, Fine Gael's Angie Bailey, who was the other remaining candidate in the mix-up for the last 2 seats in this 7-seater constituency, she had looked poised. She looked poised to take the 6th seat. So yes, after announcing the results of the 14th count, the deputy returning officer Damien Ginty said he had agreed to Thomas McElstrom's request and was adjourning the count until 11 a.m. Now, the 14th count had entailed the distribution of Councillor Sam Locke's surplus of 37 votes among the 3 remaining candidates vying for those last 2 seats, Angie Bailey, Anne O'Sullivan and Thomas McElstrom. Now, Sam Locke's surplus was just 37, but very significant because it was so tight between Anne O'Sullivan and Thomas McElstrom, it could make a very significant difference. So that's what happened, that's what occurred. Anne O'Sullivan gained 8 votes from Sam Locke, bringing her up to 1,252 votes. Thomas McElstrom got 20 votes from Sam Locke's surplus, bringing him up to 1,245. Just 7 votes separate them. And I was speaking to former Minister Jimmy Deanahan, apologies, it's been a long weekend, and Jimmy says this would obviously bring back very, very vivid memories for Thomas McElstrom, because in February 1987, the election there, his father, the late Tom McElstrom, lost his seat to Labour leader Dick Spring by just 4 votes in Kerry North.
Yeah.
So, you know, it absolutely resonates there.
It certainly does, and goes down through the ages. And Anne O'Sullivan, I suppose, a candidate really for the Minister for Education, Norma Foley, fighting for her seat. So it's the Foleys and McElstroms all over again in a recount. Trasa, you mentioned it's been a long weekend. There's been hours in it for the candidates, for the staff, and still going on at this stage, but a very busy weekend.
It has been a very, very busy weekend, and I think all of us here in Radio Kerry, we'd like to thank everybody who has supported us. We'd like to thank our colleagues back here in Tralee who manfully produced and organised how the counts, how we reported the coverage, the unfolding coverage, and we're very grateful to yourself, to Deirdre, to everyone, and of course to our general manager Fiona Stack. A big mention as well, of course, to the staff at both count centres in Killarney and in Tralee, because they've been, the setup was absolutely professional in terms of making sure we had space to set up our equipment so that we could conduct interviews quietly, that we could be facilitated, say if counts were coming in and there was a music on or a match playing, that they would hold that for a minute, vital minute or two, so we could take the count live. So really we want to say very much thank you to the staff of Kerry County Council, all the election team, from the counters to the returning officers, for their help. Yes, Tralee has been, the count is resuming this morning. The recount will begin at 11 o'clock this morning in the John Mitchell Sports Centre. Jerry, do you want me to briefly go over the main findings for Tralee LEA as an overview?
If you could, we've seen Colm Foley of Sinn Féin, kind of mirroring the Sinn Féin picture nationally, losing his seat as a councillor, although they did gain, and Paul Daly took a seat as a new time councillor for Sinn Féin, but their strategy didn't go right. But if you could just take us through briefly what happened in Tralee.
Yeah, of course. Tralee, as we said, is a 7-seater, and the Fianna Fáil councillor, Mikey Sheehy, a stunning performance. He topped the poll on the first count. He got some 15%, over 15% of first preferences. And his vote was 2,114 when the quota was 1,688. A very good election too for Terry O'Brien of the Labour Party. He took the second seat and his vote was 1,537. Third seat was taken by Deirdre Ferris of Sinn Féin, sitting councillor as well, all three sitting councillors. And then after that, Deirdre Ferris was elected on the fifth count, and we had to wait until the 12th count, until Sinn Féin's Paul Daly, brother of sitting TD Pa Daly, and longtime independent councillor Sam Locke, who were elected on the 12th count. And it was from there things progressed until the 14th count, when, as it appeared at that stage, that Angie Bailey of Fine Gael would retain the Fine Gael seat on Kerry County Council for the Tralee LEA, and she's still in a very strong position to do so. But all that is moot for the moment, we might say, as the recount gets underway at 11 o'clock, and just 7 votes between Anne O'Sullivan of Fianna Fáil and Thomas McElstrom. Just one more point. Sinn Féin ran 4 candidates in Tralee, and you know they've held their own. They had two councillors in the outgoing council, and they'll have 2 councillors again. But their preference vote was 33%. So maybe there's some things for the party to ponder. Would they maybe have been better off just running with 3 candidates?
Yeah, one of the many questions for Sinn Féin after the selection. Okay, Trasa, thanks very much for updating us on that. Action getting underway in the John Mitchell's GAA complex at 11 o'clock this morning for a full recount there to see what happens if Tom McElhiston can bridge that gap of 7 votes and complete a remarkable turnaround, which is what it would be, and we'll see what the situation is there. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get the full picture then from Ken Mayer as to what is happening. The recount has started there in Killarney. We'll hear from that from Mark Lynch after we take these. Yes, indeed, you're listening to Kerry Today. We will be getting into the analysis of what has happened, who has been elected and other issues, as well as the performance of the Healyway clan returning 3 councillors with an even higher vote this time than the last time. We want to get into what's happening in Ken Mayer now, the Kenmare electoral area. Mark Lynch, who's been covering that for Radio Kerry over the weekend at the Killarney Sports and Leisure Centre, is with me. And Mark, we're in a recount, and as I mentioned, the Healy Ray is Johnny Healy Ray, the biggest vote getter of all 33, councillors who went into this election, and all candidates, 77 candidates went to election, 3,385. Maura Healy Way indeed, what an absolutely massive 3,385 votes for her in Killarney, which tells a story of similar of the dominance of the Healy Rays in relation to that. So 3,441 was Johnny Healy Rays. Where are we now in Kenmare? We're at the account, and we're at an account that was called by the Social Democrats and Tim Clifford.
Yeah, that's right. So at the moment, we've had six counts in Kenmare. So Michael Cahill, as you say, and Johnny Healy Ray, who topped the poll, were elected on the first count. Johnny Healy Ray picked up 3,441 first preference votes, an absolutely phenomenal performance as well. And Michael Cahill, again, sitting councillor Michael Cahill, another very impressive performance, 2,162 first preference votes. So they both got over the quota in the first count. The quota is 2,134. So after them, then, nobody has been elected since. We've had five counts since then, and nobody's since been elected. The closest candidate is Norma Moriarty from Fianna Fáil, who is now just 110 votes away from the quota, but she's going to have to wait a little longer. As you said, we've had and the second count then, Johnny Healy Ray's surplus, which is a gigantic surplus of 1,300 votes, was distributed. Nobody elected on that count either, so the returning officer moved to eliminate the candidate with the lowest number of votes, which was William O'Brien. His votes were distributed in count three then, and again nobody elected, so the candidate with the lowest number of votes again eliminated. That was Oliver O'Neill that time. Again, nobody elected, and so there was no surplus to distribute, so again the candidate with the lowest number of votes was eliminated, and that was Catherine O'Sullivan. That was count five of N2. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so count six then was Michael Cahill's surplus of 28 distributed. Now the reason that took so long was because the 28 votes of Michael Cahill's surplus could differentiate between the candidates with the lowest remaining votes. So that's important, because it determines who would be eliminated next. It determines as well if someone may reach a quarter of the quota to get their deposit back. There's lots of reasons why that process takes place. So those 28 votes were distributed, and then the seventh count was that Patrick Lyon, independent, was going to be eliminated. His 460 votes were to be distributed. Now that was at about, I suppose, 11 o'clock last night. There was no action from the Kenmare local electoral area then for, I suppose, about an hour and a half. And what we could see from the floor of the count centre was fairly, I suppose, intense discussions going on. Tim Clifford of the Social Democrats was talking to the returning officers. He was talking to his team. He was on the phone. At one point, actually, as well, we could see from the press area, he was actually, I suppose, just to explain to people, candidates are separated from the counters by, you know, I suppose a timber table that was erected. So at one point he was actually talking to the staff in the counters area as well. So after that, we saw all the Kenmare counters gathered in the corner. We now understand that they were being told that the count was being suspended for the night, and that a full recount had been requested. Now the returning officer didn't announce, different to Tralee, didn't announce which candidate had requested the recount, but we know that to be Tim Clifford of the Social Democrats. And I suppose different as well, Jerry, to Tralee, in that the recount for Tralee was probably, it became almost not inevitable, but it became more likely as time went on.
Yeah.
This recount, from talking to people and from getting the sense of the floor, was kind of out of the blue. It wasn't really expected, and I think it caught a lot of people off guard. They were expecting that we would have Patrick Lyon's votes distributed. That didn't happen in the end. So the recount now has already begun for the Kenmare local electoral area. That's estimated to take a few hours. Now, the word recount implies that we're going to be starting from scratch. Not necessarily the case. So really what it's going to be is going to be rechecking the work that's already been done. Now, people may be wondering why it's taken so long. And it's the feeling again is that it's an abundance of caution. Things are being double checked and triple checked, so we're not sure what errors are going to be found, if any. But a full recount going to take place, a full recheck of all the work done so far, just to make sure everything's in order.
Yeah, okay, and we'll see where that goes. Stay with me, Mark. We're going to talk more. We're going to take a quick change in course now, diversion in course, to go to Cork, because Ireland South, a long weekend of waiting for some indications as to what is happening there. With me in the line, I've got Jamie O'Hara, who's reporting for Bauer Media, from the I was going to say the John Mitchell's Club Centre, that's in Tralee. The Nemo Rangers Club Centre. Jamie, good morning to you. Can you tell us where we are? Are we looking like we're going to get a first count around midday? Is that right?
Kerry, good morning. Yeah, the ballots got, the sorting of ballots got underway here at Nemo in Cork City at 9 a.m. It's our third day here. Saturday was just separating the locals from the Europeans, and the sorting for Ireland South started yesterday. Now, the sorting of 715,000 ballots, as you can imagine, it's around 6 tons of paper by 250 staff. It's no easy task. Now, returning officer Martin Harvey was confident yesterday that the count proper won't begin until around lunchtime today. Now, Jerry, it could be a small bit later. We're really, it's just a moving situation here. Martin said he's hopeful to get everything done and dusted by tomorrow evening, but again, that will depend on if someone gets elected on the first count, if there needs to be a recount, if the first count person's surpluses need to be passed on. It may be Wednesday. Frankly, I don't have the heart to ask Martin about how long we might be here today. It's too early in the morning for that.
Yeah.
I was doing some light tallying yesterday, peeking over shoulders around the count centre, and look, Fossa's Sean Kelly is doing extremely well. He's been an MEP since 2009. He was here yesterday. We put it to him, Sean, you have the seat. He said, no, nothing is sorted until it's announced, which is fair. The same for Billy Kelleher and independent Michael McNamara. And look, the piles on the tables that we can see seem to confirm those estimations. Someone else that was here yesterday, Green Party MEP Grace O'Sullivan, she spoke to us when she arrived. She had originally said it was not a good day for the Greens, that people have other things on their mind at the moment, like cost of living, housing, migration, public services. She had said originally she was disappointed at how the party is doing in the locals, but now we're wondering if she could take a seat when transfers come into play. So the Waterford MEP there, she had wondered aloud whether Taoiseach Simon Harris could go for an early election, said every party will have to reassess what way to go after the results over this election. Micheál Martin was here yesterday. He said no to that, no early election, but the government has work to do, including the budget, and they will go as long as they can. Taoiseach Simon Harris, he was on radio yesterday as well, he said pretty much the same thing. Now, I would just look briefly to the other candidates from Kerry. You've independent Mary Fitzgibbon. She's a nurse and a lecturer in nursing who was previously run in the 2016 general election. And you've got Una McGurk, who's an independent, a barrister, who says she's concerned about the direction the country's taking. I haven't seen anything to suggest either the two of them will be taking a seat in Europe. Simon Coveney was here yesterday. He was asked about the right-wing candidates and the lack of support for them in the votes. He said it was kind of heartening to see that Ireland hasn't had a huge swing to the hard right like some other countries in Europe, where he said politics has become fragmented. And I suppose just finally, if we look at the other maybe battle around two seats, if we take it that Sean Kelly, Billy Kelleher and Michael McNamara will take three of the five, it's 23 candidates, but I suppose the other strong runners would be Cynthia Nimaracu, Carlo, she's from Carlo, she's Fianna Fáil, barrister and former broadcaster with RTE. You've got John Mullins from Cork, he's Fine Gael. And of course, when you talk about brand recognition, you've Mick Wallace, Independence for Change. So, a bit of a battleground for the last two seats. Still too early to call.
Yeah. Does Mick Wallace and Grace O'Sullivan, do they have a live chance of taking one of those seats? Or are they under maybe the most pressure of who you mentioned there, aside from Kathleen Function and Cynthia Moracou and others? If we count the first three seats as safe, I suppose, with Michael McNamara, Billy Keller, yeah, and Sean Kelly.
So if we put those to the side and we talk about the last two seats. So, yeah, I guess he does. I guess Mick Wallace and Grace O'Sullivan do have a great chance. The Greens had originally thought yesterday that, you know, it wasn't going extremely well for them, especially in Europe. And, you know, what we're hearing now today is that they're thinking, you know what, actually, the transfers are looking pretty good. You know, the preferences down the ballot paper are looking pretty good for the Green Party. And the same for Mick Wallace. I mean, brand recognition is something.
It's a big thing, yeah, in Europe.
It's a big thing at local, you'd see it at the locals as well. It's the former Lord Mayors that are being voted back in again. It's the people who have been doing it for 10, 15, 20 years. It's the people that are running for the first time. It's putting it into the public's head who they are, and maybe in 5 years' time they might be the ones that will be successful. But brand recognition. So, look, you could be looking at Mick Wallace. You could be looking at Grace O'Sullivan.
Okay, Jamie. Listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for that. Sounds like you're in for a long haul. But thanks for talking to us in the program this morning.
Thanks, Jerry.
That's Jamie O'Hara there from Ireland South. Sean Kelly looks to be safe and heading back to Europe for another number of years. Mark Lynch still in studio with me here. And Mark, look, it's all about, I suppose, timing and what will happen and where things go. But just an overview of this election. As I mentioned, quite a number of new faces because of retirements and people pulling up, but also the five so far new faces that we'll have on Kerry County Council who were elected. We saw the departure of Mike O'Shea from the Corcaguina election at the weekend. 31 years service, the end as it stands of the O'Donoghue Fianna Fáil dynasty. A huge shock. Seamus Cussie Fitzgerald also, long-standing councillor, losing out as well. So a big, that's probably the biggest change in any electoral area, the two long-standing councillors, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, losing their seats.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Now, in fairness, in the Kinmare area, we've had two retirements as well. Patrick Connor Scartine of Fine Gael from kind of the Kinmare side of the local electoral area. We've had John Francis Flynn as well from Killorgan of Fianna Fáil. And I suppose in that local electoral area, what we've seen is that there have been geographical pulls towards those seats as well. So, for example, the talk beforehand was that there would be a Killorgan seat to hold, John Francis's seat essentially. Now, that was kind of battled out. There was about four real Killorgan candidates, and the strongest of those that looks so far is Podge Foley, first-timer yeah. independent. He's on 1,343 as of the sixth count. So he's still some way off the quota, but again, likely that we will see candidates eliminated as the day goes on as well. And likewise, Patrick Connor Scartine's seat in Kinmare, Teddy O'Sullivan Casey, looks like he may hold on to that as well. So
1,435 as things stand.
Yeah, and I know that Jimmy Deaton was on with Deirdre yesterday evening and said that would be a very important seat for Fine Gael to hold that. And originally it looked like they may struggle, but he's done very well in fairness, and he's currently about 700 off the quota. And as I say, there's about maybe 1,600 to 2,000 votes yet to be eliminated, I think, before we'll start seeing people elected. We'll see Norman Moriarty over the line. That's inevitability. It's a matter of time. I've been saying that for 18 hours, but it's been a matter of time for 18 hours, and it's still going to be a matter of time today, and she will get over the line and take that third seat. As well, we've sitting councillor Dan McCarthy, then independent, on about 1,300 as well. Now, he may well do okay off Patrick Lyne's transfers if and when they are distributed. He was the next to be eliminated, you'll remember, on the last count that we yeah. had for Kinmare. Last time out, he did very well off transfers from Patrick Lyne. He may well do well again off him as well. So he's the next in line to take the last seat, the sixth seat in Kinmare. But in fairness, the other candidates not too far behind him. We've got Ken O'Sullivan Fianna Fáil from kind of the Beaufort area. He is on 955. Then we've Tony Donnelly Fine Gael on 846. And we've Damien Quigg of Sinn Féin on 712. Now, there's a lot of candidates on between kind of 450 and 500 votes. That's what I'm saying. We're going to see Norm Moriarty over the line very soon, you'd imagine, once the recount is over, once the count has started again. But once she's over the line, there's a gap then of about 700 votes, so nobody's going to get over the quota straight away once Norma Moriarty's in. So there's going to need to be candidates eliminated in order to push people up and reach that quota. So once that starts to happen, we'll see lots of movement. We'll start seeing the likes of Podge Foley, possibly Teddy O'Sullivan Casey, move up towards the quota, but it's going to take a long time, Jerry.
Yeah, certainly will, and we'll keep you updated here with it throughout the weekend. Mark, thanks for all your hard work over the last number of days. That work continues today in the Killarney Sports and Leisure Centre. If you have any views, get in touch with us on the programme. If you have any comments, we want to hear from you. Cathal Foley losing out his seat for Sinn Féin in Tralee is another big name really in Kerry politics that's gone for the time being, co-opted again. He was a councillor before, of course, and co-opted again onto the seat for Pat Daly in Tralee. And the Tralee story will continue today as well, and we'll bring you all the updates on that. Keep your views and comments. Lots of praise coming in here for Radio Kerry's coverage over the weekend. Thank you so much for all of those comments. Well done to Radio Kerry Election Ground Information. Another listener as well saying, well done by the Radio Kerry team reporting, says Marianne. Look, thanks for that, and thanks for all your contributions over the weekend. Listeners as well with comments and observations and other things. Keep them coming into us. We've more in the elections. We'll hear from John Downing on the national picture. There's election talk in the air, as you would expect, out of these results. We'll hear about that and more after these. And our coverage will continue right across the day of the recounts in Tralee and in Kenmare, the Kenmare electoral area in Tralee electoral area, because some of your comments to get to. That compilation of yesterday's events of the election of Kerry County Council debate earlier was interesting, and that I didn't hear one Sinn Féin voice. Was this coincidental or what? Please comment, says Donald. Donald, mother of God, I was trying to shoehorn as many moments as I could into it. Sinn Féin were the story, and they will continue to be a story of this election. It's just how it worked out in terms of the people who got elected, the people who performed strongest. Some of the biggest names that went out at the weekend weren't Sinn Féin names. Some of the longest standing councillors to lose their seats were Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, despite the fact that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil had a very good election. Jerry, is it not time to discuss and reopen the debate on electronic voting? It's madness to think that two recounts are required in our small county. Germany, France, USA, India, over 1.42 billion people, by the way, all use electronic voting. It's total madness and a complete waste of public resources. So many local authorities and their staff tied up for weeks. This is definitely driven by the national media and the local outlets to continuously keep the news items turning. Time to discuss and get these results out ASAP to allow our county and our council get back to work. Interesting view. What do you think? We flirted with electronic voting. People didn't like it. Did not like it at all. There's tradition, there's heritage. What happens to the tally men and the tally women? Look, counts are long, they are drawn out. They happen only, normally, they happen only once every 4 to 5 years. So is it that much of a hassle? I don't know. Give us your view. What do you think? What do you think of this listener who says time to scrap all the counts, scrap all the issues and go straight to a system of electronic voting? John Downing of the Irish Independence with us on the line. John, good morning to you. What do you make of that, John? Would you be sad to see the end of the tallies?
I would, yeah. I would. And there's a, of course, look, lava sauce. There is an element of self-interest here. The count days and these occasions have paid the rent for me for many a day going way back. However, there is another point to be made, a bigger and a broader point, that this is a period when very, very many people engage with politics. They are taken by the excitement and the intrigue of the count and the transfers and all the rest. And I think that would be a loss from a purely, from an the standpoint of engagement with democracy.
Yeah, and that is a key thing. The involvement of people, people who care about it, people who want to turn up, who show up and who are there for the drama of the counts, because they have a drama all of their own, John. And plenty of drama over the weekend in Kerry. We saw, I suppose in a way, a similar picture to the national picture, John. We saw the strength of the independents, quite a number of them re-elected, many of them increasing their votes, not least of those the Healy Rays with the two siblings and the three cousins getting re-elected and even topping their result, if that could be believed, from 2019, which itself was a record. And then we had the problems for Sinn Féin and the return of many of the Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil seats.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I suppose the words family and politics are absolutely epitomised by the Healy Ray machine in Killarney. I'm reminded of Jackie Senior, the late Jackie Healy Ray. What a force of nature he was. I first met him in 1977, and I was on a placement in Muckross House in Killarney. He was a big figure in the 1970s, a big backroom Fianna Fáil figure in the 1977 landslide. And then I look forward again to the error that Fianna Fáil made, the error of judgment they made in 1997 by not allowing Jackie Healy Ray on the ticket, on the Fianna Fáil ticket. Now we have this, I think of it as the house that Jackie built. As luck would have it, I just look sideways here. I'm looking at Donald Hickey's two books about the phenomenon that is the Healy Ray political dynasty in Kerry. It is to a lesser extent replicated around the country. People like Matty McGrath, some of his family now engaged, Michael Lowry, going up the country, lots of people, the Smiths in Cavan, so on. A phenomenon. But as you say, yes, the part, it's kind of almost an as you were election to some degree. We expected significant losses at one stage for both for all three governing parties. Well, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have stood their ground very well. There are losses for the Green Party, but by no means the absolute devastation that was predicted by some people. And yes, Sinn Féin are really stuck. They had hoped, prior to some opinion polls in recent months, they had hoped that they would become the largest party in the local government system. That is not happening. And they are back again really where they were in 2019. Now, in 2019, when they lost half their council seats and two of their three MEPs, they said they went back to the drawing board. They thought again about messaging, and they did turn things around considerably in the February 2020 general election. In fact, we had the phenomenon of Sinn Féin candidates who failed to keep a council seat in June 2019 actually taking a Dáil seat in February, 8 months later in February 2020. But right now, the way it looks, Mary Lou MacDonald and her key leadership team are in trouble and badly need to think and come up with fresh strategies.
Yeah, and that is where it stands from that point of view. But is there a danger here? And like looking at the situation for Sinn Féin, even in Tralee, they ran for Cathal Foley, his last seat, but they've maintained their two. They were going for three, and they're not getting that three. The three they needed there to try and increase, that would have, you know, if that was replicated across the country, they'd be coming back with far more than the seats that they will come back with now. They were told after the election, or thought maybe, or were advised, or a combination of all three, that they should have run more candidates. They didn't run more candidates because based on the locals in 2019, there was no justification for that. So they ran more candidates now, and they've ended up falling between the stools because they ran too many for the amount of vote that they got nationally. But are we risking the same mistake, or is the media risking the same mistake twice in the calls for, well, it makes sense now for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and the Greens to go for an election because obviously their popular local elections are down to local people in as much as they're down to parties. The people who've been there for years, the Bobby O'Connells in Castle Island, the Fionnuala Fitzgeralds in Castle Island as well, the Michael Foley's, the Mike Kennelly's, the Healy Rays, people vote for the people local to them that they can trust to do a job. And to extrapolate too much out of that, John, as to what would happen in a general, it's a dangerous game.
It is a dangerous game. They're not one and the same thing at all. And there is a bitter irony there for Sinn Féin. When they went into the 2020 general election, they thought they were managing decline, and they pared back their candidate list, and then found that some of their poll toppers were close on two quotas, meaning they could have actually got two seats. So this time round, it turns out they had too many candidates. And you are right, any councillor who has been doing the work, by and large, unless they're very unlucky, he or she is going to get re-elected. The posh phrase is incumbency is a great advantage going into an election. So councillors who have done the job are likely to be re-elected. And I think that was the strength of both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. You mentioned Bobby O'Connell in Castle Island and others. Certainly true. But a general election is a different animal. People are looking and people are thinking about their taxes, about their mortgage, about their car loan, about the kids' education, all of these things, and weighing who may be the best bet for them. There is perhaps a slight rush of blood to the head here, saying to the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, look, you have capital here, you have political capital, you should spend it before it expires, before its expiry date. So there is a scenario emerging that we could have a slightly earlier budget and an election either before the hour goes back on October 27th, which would give that kind of canvas time window in the evenings where there's still a bit of daylight, or they might push it in even in mid November. Of course, the official word from the Taoiseach, finally, ultimately, it is his prerogative, though he'd have to have the agreement of the coalition partners, Micheál Martin, Fianna Fáil, Eamon Ryan of the Green Party. But there is this view. He obviously, they all keep saying, look, now we're going right to the end here, which is mid-March 2025. They're obliged to say that and keep saying it until they do the opposite.
Yeah, and that is part of the thing. So from that point of view, John, do you think that they will resist the temptation? And it is a moving target now, October, November, next spring, there's a clash with St. Patrick's Day, all of those sort of calculations coming into it.
If you were to give me the money and say you have to put it on in Paddy Power's now, autumn election or spring election, I would go for an autumn election.
Okay.
Simple as that.
Okay. All right. I'm looking at the wider context of it then, for the elections. Migration played a role, perhaps maybe not that much of a role in electing people who were running on, I suppose, an anti-immigrant only ticket across the country, or did some of that vote go in the independent direction, John?
Some of it did definitely go to the independent in the independent direction, but the independents are a very diffuse and diverse group, and I think I was trying to go through, insofar as I could, this morning early, the various lists. I think they may, anti-immigrant, specifically hardline anti-immigrant candidates, they will be there, and they can argue, look, it is a first, we've got this issue on the political agenda. Against that, out of 900 and odd councillors nationwide, I think they will not get into double digits. I think there will be fewer than 10.
Yeah,
which it does suggest. It does kind of go with your argument that it may have been exaggerated as an election issue.
Yeah, and perhaps maybe, but not a key issue in a local election anyway, because local councillors have very little say on national migration policy. Maybe more of a factor when it comes to the general election.
Yeah, it may well be, and we may yet. It's a long day with these European counts, crazy slates of candidates and all that. We may yet see Niall Boylan elected to the European Parliament for Dublin. We may not. He has a strong vote, but I put in a long day in the count centre in the RDS on Saturday. And I noticed the observers of the sorting of the Euro votes felt that that Niall Boylan, he's the local radio broadcaster in Dublin, frequently very populist, rather right wing. But while he had a strong vote, he may lack transfers.
Yeah, and that could be the problem for him. How is Eamon Ryan feeling this morning? He was being taunted by the Healy Rays yesterday in relation to their performance versus the performance of the Greens. That was because he had sent a barb in their direction saying Kerry was going green. Now, Dingle almost did go green at the weekend. Patera Finnan putting in a strong performance in Kirkcaldy, pulling over 1,000 votes by the 1,024 votes and in the running up to the fourth count. On the other hand, Anne Luan Dunn in Tralee not doing enough to get himself elected. Cleo Murphy in Kemer going slightly backwards from her performance in the local elections in 2019, even though she had a good general following that. So 21 seats so far for the Greens, with almost all council seats filled. How will Eamon Ryan be feeling?
Well, I think I was speaking to him late on Saturday, and he was adopting I think a reasonably philosophic view of life. They had almost 50 councillors in 2019. They're probably going to lose half that number. But he's very, very much clinging to the idea that his friend and colleague, Ciarán Cuff, can hold on to that seat in Dublin. He's in the Euro seat in Dublin. Ciarán Cuff is very much in a fight. But Eamon Ryan was making the point that, look, we've done four tough years in government. We've come through a lot, and we're still standing. And the junior partner, I mean, he didn't say this, I'm saying it, the junior partner is always unduly punished for difficulties faced by a coalition government. So I think he has, the Green, Eamon Ryan and the Green Party generally have stood up well, and I think they can hold their heads up.
Yeah, on the other side of it then, Labour and the Sock Dems. Sock Dems will be happy enough. They've 32 seats as things stand. Labour with 52 seats, although they've kept their two seats here in Kerry. Terry O'Brien and Marie Maloney, Terry in Tralee and Marie in Killarney. But really a strong personal vote for both those candidates.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, the fundamental difficulty, Gerry, is we have two Labour parties. Yeah. And until they can sit down and talk to one another and get over what in the end are small enough and personal enough difficulties, the better it will be for the Labour movement generally, and for working people to have a sensible middle of the road Labour voice, which has always been in this country. Labour has often punched above its weight in politics, and you know, it's very difficult when they are divided. The Labour movement has been divided in the past and has later overcome its difficulties and reunited. So I think that has to be the way to go.
Yeah, or there won't be a factor in forming any government anytime soon, either of those parties with the standing on.
Yes.
Who knows? Well, one thing for sure, with the surge in independence, if it does play out to a national level, we're heading for more fragmented times, John, and more coalitions, perhaps maybe even more multi-party plus independent coalitions down the line.
Absolutely, and where we began with this conversation, you could see Michael Healy-Rae as a government minister. Who knows? We have precedent for
independence. Well, there's strong talk, John, and
there was talk
the last time, and there's strong talk again that Healy-Rae should run a third candidate. If you take a look, for example, at what happened this weekend with Liam Speedy Nolan coming out of My Van, first-time candidate, elected on the first count in Listowel, fully endorsed and supported by the Healy-Rae machine. That's real electoral power when you can manage to do that with a first-time candidate. Now, there were other factors like Aoife Thornton not running. There was votes going in North Kerry that mightn't have been there before. But at the same time, they managed to do it. They could run three in the next general, for all we know. They resisted strongly the last time. They may well do so again, preferring to be sure that they return two, and two could still form part of a government. But that's what the conversation is at the moment in Kerry, because of their performance at the weekend.
Yeah, stranger things have happened, and we have had you know, the trepidation they had when Danny first stood alongside Michael. And with Kerry being a unitary constituency, it may be easier to divide the ground and work on that. Who knows? But again, you'd be talking about, you know, comparing and extrapolating local results to national. There may be other factors.
Yeah, there certainly may be. Final word, John. Lots of headlines in the paper this morning. The Star with a picture of Mary Lou on the front of it saying a kick in the shins. Is there any talk or any possibility of some sort of a heave or change of leadership in the Sinn Féin party? Now, it doesn't go the same way as it goes in other parties in Sinn Féin when it comes to these sort of things, or at least traditionally hasn't. But how frustrated do you think Piers Doherty and Eoin O'Brien will be this weekend at the direction? And it was a strangely lacklustre campaign, I thought, from Mary Lou. She didn't come to Kerry. She wasn't very visible, unlike Micheál Martin and Simon Harris.
Yeah, it was. It was a very low-energy campaign, specifically by Mary Lou. There is dissatisfaction. There is quiet muttering. But you hit the nail on the head with what you said. They do not have particularly democratic. They're pretty centralist in their approach to leadership, and they're pretty authoritarian. The leaders of Sinn Féin so far have been anointed and imposed rather than elected and I find it difficult to imagine them, you know, having a heave and forcing somebody out of office, as would happen, as we've seen happen in Labour, we've seen it happen in Fine Gael, we've seen it happen in Fianna Fáil. We have yet to see any such thing in Sinn Féin.
Yeah, we certainly do. John, a listener gets in touch. Congratulations to All in Radio Kerry on great reporting over the weekend on the elections. Missing and thinking of Michael O'Regan this morning, says Anne. He would have loved the cut and thrust of it, John.
He would, he'd have eaten it. Yeah. And I missed him on Saturday in that the long counts in the RDS, because I'm sure we'd have managed to slip across the road to the Horse Show House. You know, we might have even managed a pint.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a sad day.
It is. John, thanks so much for talking to us. Lots more work for you to do as the counts play out, of course, and as the national picture plays out. But thanks for talking to us this morning. John Downing there, political reporter with the Irish Independent, talking to us this morning about the overall national picture. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme. What do you think about an election? Do you think there is a danger of extrapolating too much from a local election and putting it into the context of a general, particularly what happened in 2019 versus 8 months later in 2020. We want to hear from you on the programme. Lots more to get to on Kerry today after we take these. Keep comments, views and opinions coming into us. Lots of those to get to. A listener gets in touch and says, Jerry, I'm totally against electronic voting. The single transferable vote is a brilliant system. It's pure democracy at work. I, for one, wouldn't want my vote to be handed over to a computer. It's also an awful way for an election candidate to be eliminated. Remember Nora Owen. Yeah, poor Nora Owen will go down in history. Probably is the only election candidate to be eliminated in that way. A single announcement, bang, gone. Hi, Jerry. I would like the speed and efficiency of electronic voting, but I think some people would be intimidated by having to use a machine to vote. Also, with the many cybersecurity breaches in our public services, I do not trust that the vote will be sufficiently protected. So if pencil and paper protects our democracy, then it's a price worth paying. Thanks to Radio Kerry for your great coverage throughout the weekend. Mary Van Wilson says, count is fun and exciting, but it's time to go for electronic voting. We had some kind of machines before that cost a fortune and were scrapped, thanks to Pat Rabbit, Mary says. But thanks to Radio Kerry for the great coverage, by the way, and congratulations to Robert Brosnan and Brondon Fitzgerald, the Dingle area, and to the Healy Rays. Caller comments, Mike Kinnell. We want to wish him the best of luck on the next 5 years from a caller in the Stoll area. He's a great friend and a great worker. Yeah, Mike did very well at the weekend. Caller says, I think anyone who doesn't get 300 votes should be eliminated and all the votes balled up together and distributed evenly. He says, those who don't get votes and are calling a recount are holding the whole thing to ransom. There needs to be a cutoff. Another comment says, the old saying, the only poll that matters is the ballot box. Sad, so many people don't bother voting. Yeah, the national picture on that, even though I think it was higher in Kerry than the national story, but the national picture of elections and voting was lower than the last time. It's actually dropped by about a percentage point. It was 50.2 in 2019, 49.3 this time around. And a listener says, Jerry, best thing now for Sinn Féin is for Mary Lou to step aside and let Piers Doherty take over. I'm not sure that's going to be happening in advance of an election. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us in the programme. It's the Sinn Féin we go to now, because I have one of the new candidates, freshly elected from the Corcaguina electoral area, Robert Brosnan of Sinn Féin, with me on the line. Robert, good morning to you and congratulations on a great win for you and your party in making the breakthrough in Dingle.
Yeah, it was a big breakthrough. Thanks very much, Jerry. Yeah, it's a good feeling for certain. It's been a long time coming, I suppose. There's been a lot of people locally involved on the peninsula with our party for years, but with no results, and it was great to get a result for them yesterday on Friday, Saturday, whenever we got the results. It's a bit of a fuzz at the moment because, you know, I was there late last night at the count centre, and we've lost track of days and stuff the way it is. But I think the count is good the way it's been done. It can be tedious and torturous, of course, for candidates and families, but it's very transparent, and it shows that transparency, and the staff worked very hard over there. I know it can be drawn out, but it's the fairest way of doing it, I think. I wouldn't be a big fan of machines for certain anyway. But look, I want to congratulate the three other outstanding candidates that got elected, Deirdre Ferris and Tom Barry and Paul Daly. I think we'll work very hard for the party and the county, and
commiserations to all the others who stood, like Paddy Kevan, Thomas Harrington, Deirdre Bell, Caroline Kennelly, Damien Switzer, Marion Farrell, Leo Sullivan, Colin Foley, and Damien Quigg and Stephanie O'Shea. Like, they've all showed the courage, like, the, to move this forward, and it takes a lot of courage to do that, and hats off to them. And I think next time around, a lot of those people will be elected to the council. It's a tough challenge. It wasn't a great election for us, but for sure there'll be better days ahead, I think.
Yeah. Why do you think it wasn't a great election, Rob? What do you think it was about this election that just didn't seem to work for Sinn Féin in the way the national election worked in 2020?
We can't actually put our finger on it at the moment, so we have to review a lot of stuff. I suppose maybe hindsight is a great thing, but like I suppose ambition needs to be tempered with reality. Like, we were ambitious in a lot of areas, maybe, but we need to temper that a bit more with reality. I suppose polls can give a poor picture sometimes of what's on the ground locally as well, so we need to review it for certain. But I think we're in a good place. We're returning four councillors again, and we will definitely build on it. And my hope is to put in the work for the people locally and on the peninsula in Forcagaina, and that's what it's all about. If we put in the work, we will build it and get a bigger group together next time out, I think, for sure. Like, I had a great team, like Johnny Griffin there, my director of elections in West Kerry, and Mike Galvin and Sean O'Loing and my family. They were outstanding. Like, and we were 15 months on the road knocking doors, and it is a huge effort, but if you really want something, you have to put that in, and my hope is that I can deliver now for the people. I'm so honoured to do it.
Yeah.
Have that position. And
your fellow councillor Brendan Fitzgerald said at the weekend when he was talking about, I suppose, the loss of the seat for Michael O'Shea in Milltown and how long he's been involved and how tough it can be. You've been at counts before where you've lost. It's not just about, you know, the parties or who wins or who loses or the horse race. It's about families, and it can be a devastating day when you lose. Yeah.
It's a bitter pill to swallow, for sure. Like, Mike won't be feeling well for a number of weeks after that loss. Like, you know, and he has put in 31 years in the council. Like, and I suppose he's done a lot of good work for people. Like, so it's a tough one to swallow. All right, for sure. Like, it's a tough one to swallow for all our outstanding candidates in Sinn Féin that stood for us, like, as well. And you know, I'd hope that they'd stick with it and come back stronger and better, because they have shown that courage to stand for the people. And every one of those candidates were outstanding candidates. We just can't put our finger on exactly, but we will have to review it for sure. Like, and look, I dedicated to this seat to Sean Martin Baker. He was a man that stood with me for years, campaigning every by road and every road in our peninsula for years and years, and unfortunately we lost Sean Martin a couple of years back, but I dedicate this seat to Sean Martin, who's an outstanding comrade and member of Sinn Féin for years and years. We'd hope to represent the people as best we can now and move forward and build again. So it's a celebration, but at the same time we've a lot of work to do as well. So that's all I can say on it at the moment, I suppose, Jerry.
Okay, Robert, well, listen, look, congratulations on a great win. Well done again, and we'll talk as the new council gets underway. I think the first meeting is in a couple of weeks' time, so we'll talk about that. But thanks for talking, and well done to you and your family your team for the great win at the weekend.
Thanks, Jerry. Thank you.
Robert Brosnan there. A success story for Sinn Féin in Corcaguina. The Corcaguina electoral area got 1,429 first preference votes. Tommy Griffin topping the poll there of Fine Gael, 1,807 votes. And Brendan Fitzgerald coming from behind with 1,014 votes, ending up getting elected, I suppose, in the end at the expense of Michael D. O'Shea. Padraig Fionnán, one of the bright spots for the Green Party in the selection as well, with 1,000 1,024 votes. Almost got there, but not quite eliminated on the fourth count as it came down to that. And it was just a case of that unique constituency. There was a high number of candidates in the west of the constituency, and when they started getting eliminated, it ended up with Michael D. O'Shea, even though he polled well, polled in third place, 1,338 votes. The transfer system meant that he didn't make it in the end and lost out to his fellow Fianna Fáil councillor, Brandon Fitzgerald. If you have a view on that and on what Robert Bosland had to say about the Sinn Féin story, both locally and nationally, we want to hear from you. We'll have more on Kerry today after we take these. Yeah, keep your comments and views coming into us on the programme on 0667 123 666. You can text and WhatsApp us on 083 300 330. We want to hear from you on the programme. Now with me on the line next, I have got Independent Deputy for Kerry, Michael Healy-Ray. After a very big weekend and a very successful weekend for the Healy-Ray organisation, with all three of their candidates, all three of their family candidates, I should say, returning with a higher vote than 2019. And Michael, congratulations to you and to your son Jackie, topping the poll in Castle Island, and also, of course, Maura and Johnny topping the poll in their respective areas, and your endorsed candidate Liam Speedy Nolan doing so well as well in Listowel. You must be absolutely delighted this morning.
Well, I suppose the first thing, I always say this when people receive votes, and on behalf of Johnny, Maura and Jackie Healy-Ray, we're deeply humbled for the massive amount of people that came out and not just re-elected them, but even gave them a higher vote than they received in 2019. That's a massive reflection on those three people themselves, what I call the young Healy-Rays. They're excellent and genuine, committed young politicians, which is great in a democracy to see young people that are willing to serve their communities and their families, and to the people that walk the roads with them. And for many, many, many months, on dark days and dark nights and weekends, and they really put their hearts and souls into the Healy-Rays. Remember, are nothing, absolutely nothing. We're completely insignificant if we didn't have people, whether it is Danny and myself and the Dáil, or whether it is the three young councillors. We can't go anywhere. We'd be very lonesome driving down the road on our own. So we're deeply indebted to the canvassers and the team that put up the posters and take down the posters, but also, of course, to the people that actually vote for us. And then the other angle, of course, in this story, Jerry, is Liam Speedy Nolan, who is an excellent and genuine person. You interviewed him on Radio Kerry, and he was, you know, going out, a first-time person, new to politics, and himself and his wife Eileen, they have a great team of canvassers as well in the Listowel electoral area, and he came within a hair's breadth of being heading the poll himself for a first-time candidate, Jerry. Like, all politicians in Kerry would have to recognise that and say, well, there's definitely something about Liam Speedy Nolan. I think he'll be an excellent, humble worker for the people. To me, politics is the same as getting up in the morning, putting on a pair of boots or a pair of Wellingtons and an old trousers and going out the road. The only difference is you're putting on a suit maybe and going out doing a different type of work. But to me, it's all about work, work, work. And I do have something to say then. Of course, yes, I'm very happy for Sam Locke, who in the Tralee area, I work closely with him also. And I'm so happy for him and his family, Annie and all his, and his brother Jackie put in an awful, terrible, tough campaign altogether. He slogged the roads as well. But to all the candidates in Kerry, Jerry, that were successful, but also then to the people who aren't successful, because that could be any of our stories any day. And I also, too, have to say a very special word about a very special good man. I was great friends with his late father, and that's Mike O'Shea of Milltown. You know, politics, Jerry, is a tough racket. It's not for the faint-hearted, but you'd be a very horrible person if you wouldn't feel genuinely sorry for somebody who works and who does their best. Michael O'Shea was there for 31 years. That's a great commitment to local politics. It shows a genuine man, a genuine person. So such a people like that, that it didn't work out on the day, I'm thinking of them and their families as well, because the world don't revolve around Healy Rays or anybody else. You have to think about other people as well. And while you or me and are having this conversation today, there's people hurting out there. There's people who voted for a person, that person was their favourite person, and they didn't win. And you wouldn't be human at all, Jerry, if you wouldn't think of people like that. And last night, I'll tell you the truth, it was late. We had come to Kilgavin and Kinmare, and we met a lot of people. But when I was going to bed last night, I have to tell you the truth, I was thinking about people, that had done their best. They're genuine people, and it didn't work out for them on the day. And I just want to say, I'll fight my politics, as you know, in a clean way. And that's the way we were brought up by the late Jackie Healy Ray. And certain things happened during campaigns in certain areas where things got personal. I don't like personal politics. I like to think that we go about our business in a nice, ordinary way, in a humble way, and we don't ever want to hurt or offend anybody, and we never would. So to those people today that weren't successful, I'm very sorry. I really, really am sorry. But again, to everybody that came out in the Killaghlin municipal area, in the Killarney municipal area, and in the Castle Island area, and that put three young Healy Rays at the head of the poll, and that each one of them increased their vote on what was a poll-topping performance the last term, and to go at it again and increase that again, it'll tell you that Johnny, Jackie and Mara Healy Ray are definitely doing something right. And
indeed,
all I hope is that they'll continue to do that for many, many years. And it's their day. It's not myself or Denny's day. It's their achievement. They earned it themselves. They made their own way, they made their own name, if you know what I'm trying to say. It's not, because of the political house they came out of or anything like that, because sure, you could be born into something, Jerry, and you could lose it, or you could be born into something and you could make it better again,
and that seems what they're doing at the moment. Michael, can I ask you, it leads me on to my next question, because they're elected now for the next 5 years for Kerry County Council. The talk, and all the talk based on the results, and maybe some are jumping the gun in terms of what a local election means versus what a national election means, but it was a good local election for the coalition parties. The Greens did not get wiped out. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have held up very strongly, and either one of them will be the largest local party, but that doesn't always transfer to the national. What's your view on when there should be? When would you like an election, for example? When do you think we need an election?
Well, just to answer your first question first about the Greens, right? We didn't pick on the Greens, but a very unusual thing happened, Jerry, at the Greens National Conference. And you must admit, you're a political observer for a long time.
I'll stop you one second. To say you didn't pick on the Greens, maybe stretching it a little, Michael, you've been fairly vocal in the Dáil for the last 5 years about them. Because you're not happy with them. But did Eamon Ryan make it personal? Will I ask you that?
Well, it was, you were an experienced political man. It was most unusual for a leader of a political party at their national conference, in their prime time on national and local airwaves throughout the country, to mention a political family. And he said he was going to come to Kerry and he was going to take on the Healy Rays. Well, he did. And I'm not even going to mention the votes, because again, that would be being personal. But let me put it to you this way. He took the Healy Rays on, all right, but he didn't succeed. And he made it a bit personal. When we talk about the Greens, we are talking about their policies, whether it's the way they're, in my opinion, anti-farmers, the real custodians of our land, or the people who own it, the farmers themselves who make a living from land. We want live exports. We want the track in Tralee, the Greyhound track, to be opened. We want to see horse racing continuing. The Greens are anti an awful lot of the people, the things that we want, whether it's cutting turf, the way we live. And to be honest with you, their policies are failing an awful lot. They're telling us use more and more electricity. We're producing less and less of it, thanks to them. And they want us all drive electric vehicles. That's not working out.
And
on that point, that they're their policies aren't going down well on the ground. But the way myself and Denny talk in the Dáil, and the way we represent people at a national level, I'd like to think that we're representing the real people of Kerry and throughout the country.
Which is why you got the high vote you did. Is there any possibility, notwithstanding the performance of the coalition parties in this local election, that ye may run a third candidate in the general election, particularly given the performance of other, let's say, associate candidates of yours in other areas, the strength of the Healy-Ray brand? Will you run three? Or are you considering it at least?
No, I don't dodge questions. The first question you asked was, what was my idea of a general election? When should it come? Like, the answer to that is, this government can run until the 22nd or 23rd of March of 2025. Simon Harris holds the highest political office in the land. His legs are underneath the Taoiseach's desk. Why? This is all an opinion. Why would he want to cut that time short? He's 61 days or something, Taoiseach, now. And I think with what has happened to Sinn Féin over this election, he might want to actually use the most time he can to see would it strengthen his own hand facing an election. Whether it would or it wouldn't, that's up to the electorate. But I have a feeling, even though everybody's saying October or November, I really think, but I've no monopoly in being right, that he'll run it to the last day that he possibly can. But that's an opinion.
Yeah.
Now, to answer the next question, again, because I don't avoid, if I'm able to answer a question, I'll answer it. The two Healy-Ray candidates that will be running in the next general election is Denny and Michael Healy-Ray. They will be the two names that will be on the ballot paper for Kerry, for the Dáil. And like to speculate anything else or to think it, the factual answer I can give you, and I know I'm talking on both our behalves in that, because that would be the way the thing will work. So you will have the Healy Rays working in the council, and we will be going before the public humbly, asking them, do they want us to continue representing them?
Okay. All right, Michael, we'll leave it there. No third candidate, so thanks very much, and well done again on a spectacular weekend.
One thing, Jerry. Thanks to Radio Kerry for the excellent coverage they did. I know you're burnt out as well over the election coverage and reporting, because the people of Kerry really appreciate it. People that are at home that can't travel to the count, there might be older people and people working, and like there's people inside in lorries and diggers and in farms, and they're listening to Radio Kerry, and we appreciate your work way more than you might actually think.
Thanks, Michael, appreciate that. That's Deputy Michael Healy-Ray on the line after a sterling weekend for the Healy-Ray political dynasty in the local elections. On the way, we'll hear from the Minister for Education, Norma Foley.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry,
brought to you in association with KWD Recycling, collecting waste and recycling at your door.
Your comments, views and opinions coming into us on the programme. With me in the line, I've got the Minister for Education, Norma Foley. Minister, good morning to you. You were late in the night last night or early this morning in the Tralee Count Centre. You'll be back there. You're on your way again today for a tenth time to see how that recount goes. But what's your view, first of all, overall, and how the weekend went for Fianna Fáil and Kerry?
Yeah, thanks very much, Jerry. You're quite correct. It was a very late night last night, and then we're back into it again this morning. Look, we had a very good weekend in some respects. You know, we gained a seat there with Michael Lean, who ran a fantastic campaign from the Ballyhaig side of things. So he joins Jimmy Maloney. We're very, very sorry, though, to see our long-standing councillor, Mike Shea, lose his seat. You know, Mike, just a Trojan of a worker and just a fantastic, you know, party representative and community representative. So very sorry to see him go. And I want to include, you know, Seamus Cusky Fitzgerald there as well from Fine Gael, and of course Cathal Foley, Sinn Féin in Tralee. You know, every candidate gives 110%, like, you know what I mean? So it's very hard, you know, when things don't work out right. So look, and this morning, as you say, you know, we have a recount now in the Tralee area. There's also, of course, a recount in Kinmare. So it's look, it's nothing new to us in Kerry, really. I think we're well used to recounts and everything going down to the wire. But I want to acknowledge Kerry County Council staff did an outstanding job right throughout the weekend. You know, they were methodical, they were forensic, they were really so professional in the job. So, look, we keep going today now until we get the final results in.
Yeah, and it, if it does turn out to be the case, it goes the way you want, and Anne O'Sullivan is elected, then you're looking, and likewise in what's playing out in Kenmare, obviously with Norman Moriarty about to be elected, it'll be 10, but you'll be returning 9. So would you be happy enough with that performance, given the high watermark it was for a year, and the strong performance in 2019, and then from that, the national picture looking pretty strong? You could be yet the biggest, remain the biggest party in local politics.
Yeah, look, I want to acknowledge, you know, Ken O'Sullivan as well there in the Kenmare area. You know, Ken was the late addition there, and he has put in a phenomenal campaign as well. So, look, we'll wait and see how the Kenmare thing, you know, works out. But just, you know, we've had sterling performances from all of our councillors, and I could name them all. It was quite phenomenal to see them, you know, hold up the vote, and, you know, right throughout. And that, I think that was always our chief objective in Kerry, that we would hold the vote. We held the vote in Tralee. We held the vote everywhere, really. And nationally, you're right. You know, it looks like being a good day, but I think that's a reflection of the candidates that were in the field. That's a reflection of the work that was done over the last 5 years. But you know, we're very, very proud of the work ethic of our councillors. They're community based, their strong focus on community, and I want to acknowledge all of them. And you know, it's a tough thing every 5 years, I suppose, to put yourself on the ballot paper, but you know, they've done it and they've done well. But I also want to congratulate all the other candidates across all parties and none, and I recognise the independents too. You know, everybody gives 110%, so you know, those who win on the day, it's fantastic, but I never forget those who were not successful either, because they put in the same campaign too. So we'll see how things unfold today in both Tralee and Kenmare.
Okay, I know you're a bit heading there. I'll let you get off to it, and thanks very much for talking to us in the programme this morning. That's Minister for Education Norma Foley, with her view on the overall picture for Fianna Fáil in Kerry and how things stand, notwithstanding those two counts still underway in Kerry. The Tralee one about to get underway indeed, and the Kenmare one's been underway since 9 o'clock this morning. Keep it here on Radio Kerry all day. We will have the very latest from Ireland South, and also the very latest from Tralee and Killarney count centres, as those two counts continue to wind their way to a conclusion. We find out the final names of the 33 councillors who will be representing you for the next 5 years in the management of Kerry as a county. My thanks to the team that put the programme together, and to everyone involved in their election coverage over the weekend, which still continues. The huge team, the background staff, the digital staff, the sound engineers, and everybody else, the presenters here who interrupted their programmes and helped out. My thanks to all of them for providing a brilliant service and a brilliant coverage, and it's reflected in the comments from you this morning. It continues, and we'll keep you up to date on things.